We are continuing our series on weird stories in the Bible. Okay, this weird story in the Bible. Tonight's message is called Dry Bones. And if you want to open up to the book of Ezekiel, you can. I don't have this verse of the scriptures on the screen, so I'm just going to read it here for you. Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read the message translation. It says, God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around and among them. A lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. Now let me pause here for a second. Because when I read this, this valley full of dry bones, the first thing that popped in my mind was this. Show the picture, Wes. What movie is that from? Lion King. Like, this is, when I see this, the valley of dry bones, in my head, I'm seeing the elephant graveyard, and, like, Scar and the hyenas are in the corner going, be prepared. You know, like, that's what happens in my head when I read the Bible. It's weird, I know. It's how I do things. My head works weird. And so that's what I'm seeing. Like, this is kind of the image here. This valley just full of dead things that are been dead so long, they're just bones, okay? So, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, Master God, only you know that. He said to me, prophesy over the bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. So God is telling Ezekiel, talk to the bones. Now that's weird, right? Can we all agree that's a little bit strange? Anybody ever talk to anything? How many of you guys talk to inanimate objects? Be real. We probably all do it. Talk to animals, yeah. But I'm talking about things that have no change. Like a dog, they can sometimes understand, you know, you talk to your truck, right? What else do we talk to? Do what? Your phone? I yell at my phone often because my phone is stupid. Do what? No, you're an animate. You're not inanimate. I'm thinking like things that will think cannot respond to you. What else do we talk to? Our phones? The Flappy Bird. Okay, put the Flappy Bird away. You almost cry. You yell at your phone when it's about to die. You're like, no, just give me 5 more minutes. You yell at your phone. What besides your phone do we yell at? You yell at books when you're frustrated with how the story is going. You're like, no! Okay. Yeah, I yell at my truck. I yell at vehicles. Yeah, all kind of stuff. Okay, so but still, like, we don't really expect them to respond or to react in any way. So listen to this. He said to me, God said to me, prophesy over these bones, dry bones, listen to the message of God. God the Master told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. I prophesied just as I had been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound, and oh, the rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. All right, so let's pause and think for a second. Let's pause again. He's in this valley. We're in the Lion King there. Okay, Scar and the hyenas are over there singing. And he starts, God tells him to talk to these bones. Okay, that's weird enough. But then when it gets quiet, okay, there's a quiet moment after he's talked to the bones, and all of a sudden a rustling starts to happen. You hear the click and clack and click, 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 clack of bones starting to move, and there's nobody touching them. Right, it's freaky. It's a little weird, okay? And so you hear things are starting to rustle, and then all of a sudden clack, and you start hearing. And then all of a sudden these bones that were just piles of bones are now kind of starting to look like human skeletons, you know, and the bones of the finger are coming together and forming the hand and then up and down the arm, et cetera, okay? And then all of a sudden muscles start to appear on top, and the tendons and the sinews and all those kind of things start to appear. So now it looks like a biology textbook because there's all these weird things, and they've got muscles and tendons, but there's no skin. And then the skin starts to show up, and now there's skin on these things, and it's weird. And then they had no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds. Come breathe. Breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe life. So I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came alive. They stood on their feet, a huge army. So now we've got these things that were just piles of bones. It was just a scrap heap of dead bones. And then they stood up and, you know, they started to come together and the muscle and the bone and the sinew and the skin. But then they were just like zombies, like they weren't alive. They were just these bodies that were there, like all body but no life. And then all of a sudden the wind starts to blow from the four corners. And these bodies come to life, and the breath of God is breathed into them, and they stand up, and all of a sudden, what had just been a valley, a pile of dry bones, is now an army. This is weird stuff, man. Ezekiel is going through some stuff. Okay, Ezekiel is going through some stuff. Now, here's the thing. Everybody in here, you are one of two characters in this story. There's only three characters, and you're not God. Okay, so I tell you, you're not the God character. So we got Ezekiel, and then we got the dead people, the dry bones, okay? Now, here's the thing. If you have already met God, you already have a relationship with Jesus, you've begun that, you are Ezekiel. You were Ezekiel, and you're standing in this valley of dry bones, and you're like, I've never been in the Lion King. Like, I've never actually been in there. That would be weird. I've never actually been in the valley of dry bones, and that's true. But I guarantee you, most of you are surrounded by people who have never met Jesus. You're surrounded by classmates and teammates and you know, people in your group for your project that aren't doing their side of the work. And you got to do it. Everybody ever had that happen where you got to do the whole group's work? Yeah, right? That's no fun. Okay, so you got these people all around you that need Jesus. And that's where you're like Ezekiel. You're standing in this valley of dry bones. And you're surrounded by these dead people. They're not physically dead, but they're spiritually dead. I want you to pause for a second here. I want you to close your eyes. Okay, nobody looking around. And we're not done yet. This isn't the closing. I just want you to close your eyes. Don't be looking at your Bible app or whatever you're looking at. Close your eyes and think about the people around you who are those dry bones. Think about your classmates. And some of you, there are specific faces popping into your mind. You can think of people right now that don't know Jesus. And you see them every day. You see them 5, 6, 10 times a week. You see them all the time. And those dry bones are popping into your head. And you're thinking, okay, you can open your eyes back now that you kind of got that in your mind's eye. And you're thinking the same question that Ezekiel asked. What does Ezekiel ask back in God asks to Ezekiel in like verse 3. He says, son of man, can these bones live? Can these dead people come to life? Is it possible for my friends to come to spiritual life? Is it possible for these people that I know to have spiritual life again? And God says, and Ezekiel says, God, only you know. And see, that's the answer. Can my school be reached? Can my friends know Jesus? Some of you, it's even your family. Can my family be saved? God has the capability. See, we can't do it. We don't have that capability on our own, but God knows. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do how much more? How much more? It's up there. It's up on the screen, I promise. Immeasurably more. So much that you can't even measure it. Like, it's not just a ruler. It's not just a pound or a gallon. Immeasurably more than we could even ask or imagine. So the most stuff that you can think of, the most friends that you can think of, the most whatever, God can do immeasurably more than that. So we can't do it. You know, God wants to do more than we ask. Some of you guys, I've told the story. You may have heard it. If you have, that's cool. If not, that's cool too. At the trunk or treat this year, and this kid cracked me up. I don't know who it was. But trunk or treat, we're doing the cakewalk, and one of the things on the cakewalk table is this double-decker tier of cupcakes. It was like 9 on the bottom level, and then like another 5 or 6, right? It was this double-decker thing of cupcakes. And we did the cakewalk, and the music stopped, and this kid, we called this kid's number. I don't know who it was, but, and he reached up, and he grabbed one cupcake. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I get the cupcake, right? I was like, dude, you get that whole thing, like all the double-decker. And he went, like this look of amazement and excitement hit his face. It was like the coolest thing I've ever seen. It just made me laugh. And see, that's what God's saying. He's like, we just ask sometimes for one cupcake. You might ask for one friend, but God wants to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. God doesn't just want to save you one friend. He wants to save all your friends. And sometimes that's hard, and sometimes it takes time, but it's in God's hands. Now, check this out, because this is huge. This next part right here is humongous, and we got to get this. You see, before the dry bones were brought to life, in verse 4, it says, then he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, and he tells them what to say. What did Ezekiel have to do before the bones were brought to life? He had to prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? Yes. To speak. There it is, to speak. See, he couldn't just hope. He couldn't just, boy, I sure hope these bones come to life. That would be weird, but whatever. That's what I hope, because I think that's what God wants to happen. No, God said to him, you got to speak it over it. You got to speak life over these bones. And some of you need to speak life over your friends. Some of you need to pray over your friends and not just in this, boy, I sure hope they get saved. Some of y'all need to spend some time interceding on behalf of your friends. We know that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is effective. And so some of us need to spend some time praying over you. I like to come in here sometimes during the week when nobody else is here, and I pray over you guys by name, and I pray aloud, and I'm the only one in here, and I got the music turned up, and it's just me and God, and I'm interceding for you guys. And that's what some of you need to do over your friends. You need to speak over your friends. I'm not talking about hitting them over the head with the Bible. I'm not talking about yelling at them every time they say a curse word. I'm talking about speaking life into the lives of your friends. Now, some of us, many of us are Ezekiel. We know Jesus. We're in that relationship. We're surrounded by dry bones. But there's probably one or two people in here who are the dry bones. And maybe, you know what, at one time you were Ezekiel. You say, you know what, at one point in my life, I had that relationship with Jesus, but, you know, it's kind of fallen by the wayside. Or maybe you never have. Maybe you're a total fresh, and you've never been in that situation. But here's the thing, you're dry. Now, I want to point out something about these dry bones. And that is this. When you get sick, who do you go to get better? The doctor, right? Like I said, many of us have been sick in the last week. Last Wednesday, I was sick. I went to the doctor. It's only the second time in my adult life I've been to the doctor. I don't like going to the doctor, but Manon made me. And so I went to the doctor last Wednesday afternoon, and I'm glad I did because he gave me drugs. He gave me Tamiflu, and it was wonderful, and I got better quickly. But see, here's the thing. These dry bones, they were not sick. Sick, you can go to the doctor, and a lot of times they can help. I remember the first time I ever got the flu, I didn't go to the doctor. And it was just a 24-hour flu bug. It didn't last very long. But I remember I was student teaching. It was like my third week of student teaching, I think. I was 21. And I was, helping student teaching in this band class and teaching music theory and stuff. And I remember being in music theory, which I think was fourth period that day, and feeling really dizzy. You know, and I kind of got through the day feeling just like junk, and, you know, my nose is running, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't remember driving home. As dizzy as I was, I should not have driven home. But I got myself home, and, you know, it's like 4:30 or whatever it was on a Friday afternoon when I get back to my apartment. And all I remember is laying in bed till about 4 o'clock the next afternoon. Like, that's all I did. You know how when you get miserable like that and you feel like you're going to die and you just lay in bed? And that's how I was. I laid in bed for like 24 straight hours, and then I got hungry. So I got up and went and got food. And then it's true. That's what happened. Like, I laid in bed for – I got home, and I just, like, fell into the bed. I laid there, like, half awake, just kind of going in and out of sleep with the TV on forever. And then Saturday afternoon, I was like, all right, I need sustenance and nourishment, and I had to get up. And then Sunday morning, I was pretty much better, and it was just like a 24-hour flu bug. But here's the thing. When we're sick, we go to the doctor. How many of you guys have ever seen a dead animal? Either you've hunted and you've shot an animal, or you fish and you pull a fish out of the water and you watch it do that. You know, and then it dies, or maybe you've had a pet die or something like that. Right? You've seen a dead animal. Okay, put your hands down. Now, is that animal going to come back to life? No, it is not. Okay, do what? But did it come back to life? No, it did not. Okay, your uncle's sister thought the fish was coming back to life. It did not come back to life. Yes, ma'am. Why don't they? Because that's what being dead is. See, that's the thing. When we're, you know, when something is dead, it generally stays that way. Now, if you go hunting and you shoot a hog or something like that, when you get to that hog and it's dead, it still has all of its muscle and it's got its hair and it's got all of the, you know, the tissues and all that kind of stuff. That's all there. Okay, but it's still not coming back to life. Just because it has those things does not mean it's coming back to life. And yet, in Ezekiel, it wasn't even like that. It wasn't even a fresh kill. You know, these things were dry bones, okay? And see, when something is dead like that, then the doctor's not going to be any good. The vet's not going to be any good. It's only God who has the power to heal. You see, the Bible says that when we are in sin and we are not in a relationship with Jesus, that we are dead in our sins. Okay? Ephesians 2 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were, by nature, deserving of wrath. You see, when we are dead, when we are in that situation where we're not in relationship with Jesus, there's no life in that in our human ability. We cannot bring ourselves back to life. There's no doctor, there's no vet, there's no surgeon that can bring a dead person back to life. And when we are spiritually dead, it's the same thing. We can try as hard as we want, and we do, man. We get in those bad places. You know what? I'm going to do better. I'm not going to look at that website this time. I'm not going to get angry with my friend. I'm not going to, whatever it may be, whatever our struggles are, we try and do it too often in our own power. We say, I can do this. But the fact is, we cannot. And some of you guys, you've had this experience. You met Jesus before, and you keep falling back into this same trap of trying to do it on my own, and I'm going to do better. And I've been there, guys. Many of you have heard me tell my story my entire teenage life, basically, and even into my early adulthood, of trying, God, I'm going to do better. God, I'm not going to click that website tonight. God, I'm not going to look at that girl that way. I'm going to do better. And I never could. And we never can because we're dead in our sins. Luckily, God didn't require us to do good on our own. Okay, and some of you heard this before and you need a refresher, which is why I'm telling you. And some of you need to let this sink in again. That when we were at our worst, when we are at the lowest of the low, that's when Jesus loved us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were dead, while we were just dry bones, no life, no signs of life, that's when Christ died for us. He reached down, and that's when he picked us up. We were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. In Colossians, it says, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. When you were dead. That's when Jesus loves you. You might be there right now. You might say, you know what? I've been struggling with stuff. There's this one thing I keep going to over and over again, and I keep struggling. Or maybe you're struggling with depression, or maybe you're struggling with feelings of unworthiness and not being good enough. It's when you're at that low point. That's when God loves us, guys. I was reading this, and yesterday morning, you know, this, like I said, this is not a normal scripture you hear talked about a lot. And yesterday I was trying to think, I had a list of some scriptures that I was considering for this series, but as of yesterday morning, I hadn't really thought for sure where I was going to go tonight. And I was getting ready for work yesterday morning, and Ezekiel 37 popped in my head. And it wasn't one that even I'm that familiar with. I had to go look it up. And I was sitting there getting ready, and I looked this up, and I was like, I was reminded again just how amazing that is. See, too often, we are not like this. We don't pick people up when they're at their worst. And I'm like this too. You know, if your friend does something to you, you're going to make them apologize and you're making them prove that they're not going to do that again before you're going to accept their friendship. Right? When somebody wrongs you and somebody gossips about you, the natural response is to go, no, you're going to have to prove yourself a while before we really get back into being friends. We're going to have to, you know, when somebody wrongs you, somebody does whatever to you, but Jesus didn't do that. God didn't do that. When we are at our worst, that's when God says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I died for you when you were at your worst, when you were at your deadest. That is when it comes. That is when Jesus came to love us. We know the last part here, Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's where life comes back in. That's where in the silence, in that dry bone valley where there's some bones and some skin and some muscle, but there's no life, that right there, that's where the wind starts to blow. From the four corners, the breath of life comes. And you are saved. And we know that God wants eternity with us, and that once we, you know, when we're in that relationship with Jesus, we know that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God loves us in an eternal way. And when we are in relationship with Him, there's nothing that can separate. We sing that song every once in a while. It's been a while, but the first line, nothing can separate, even if I ran away, because your love never fails. And tonight I want you to take a minute and allow that to sink back in. Because again, so many of us, we grow up in church, we spend our whole lives in church, and we have this knowledge, and we can quote the Romans Road, and we can quote these things, but we haven't allowed that knowledge to sink in fresh. We haven't allowed that knowledge to sink in fresh. If you would, close your eyes with me again. I want you to think about your lowest moment. It might be right now. This might be your lowest moment. You may be in that moment right now. You might be right there in your life. And if you are right now, God is saying, I love you. God is saying, I want the best for you. I want relationship with you. He's extending His hand to you. God is saying, son, daughter, restart this relationship with me. That's what I want. So tonight I'm going to offer three things actually. Some of you are Ezekiel, standing in a valley of dry bones. And you need to begin to speak over your friends. You need to begin to pray aloud over your friends. You need to stand in the gap. You need to begin to speak like Ezekiel had to speak over those dry bones. You need to begin to pray specifically and intentionally over somebody in your life. And you can think of who it is. And again, the Holy Spirit brought some faces and some names to mind earlier, and He's doing it again. You can see Him right now. And you say, you know what? Yeah, I had these friends. I'm in this valley of dry bones, but I haven't been praying specifically for them. And maybe you have, and maybe you know what? You need to speak specifically to them. Okay, that's kind of the next step. First we pray for them, then we speak to them. And you might be at that point where you've been the good example and you've been the good kid, and when they all go and do whatever, you say, no thanks, and you've done that, and that's awesome. Thank you for doing that. Be that example. But maybe you need to speak to them. Okay, some of you are in that situation. Some of you are in that dry bone situation. You say, I'm spiritually dry, Tony. I haven't been in relationship with God the way He wants, and I need that fresh wind. I need that fresh breath of life. Some of you have never had that breath. You've never had that fresh relationship. You've never begun that relationship with God. And you say, I want to begin that tonight. Let me tell you guys, it's not a magic prayer. There's no magic formula. There's no secret code. There's no abracadabra kind of spell. It's simply you talk to God. You say, God, I love you. I'm sorry for the things that I do. But I believe that you died for me and you raised from the dead. And I declare you as Lord. And that's all it takes to begin that relationship. And some of you right now are doing that again or for the first time. Before we dismiss, if you're in any one of those spots, you say, I'm the Ezekiel, I need to speak over, I need to speak to my friends. Or I'm the dry bone, need to refresh, need to start it for the first time. If you're any of those three, again, with every eye closed, nobody's looking around. This isn't about public embarrassment or acknowledgement or anything. But if you're in any of those three situations and you say, you know what, I need a fresh wind. I need one of those three things. If that's you, just slip your hand up and put it back down. I don't care which one you are. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it back down. I don't care which one of those three things you are. Great. You can put your hands back down. It doesn't matter. Where you are, you're one of those three things. Guys, I was reading this scripture. Thank you. Put your hands back down. I was reading this scripture, And I was getting ready. I was at my house just getting ready for the day. And the Lord just broke me. He brought tears to my eyes. Because I know some of y'all's friends. You know, I mean, I'm at Permian on Tuesdays, and I see some people, and I go to the sports, and I go to the choir things, and all the different schools, and all the whatevers. And I see these people, and when I'm substituting and stuff, you know, all over the place, and I see these students, and when I read this scripture, it was talking about the dry bones. I was just imagining. Oh, guys, it was so good. I was imagining this fresh wind, this fresh breath over Permian and over OHS and over Bonham and over Blackshear and over Reagan and over every other school that might be represented. And I was just seeing it in my mind. I was seeing this fresh wind. And I was hearing the rattling of those dry bones in the hallways. Oh, and I just got goosebumps and my eyes began to tear up. I thought about the outpouring of the Spirit that God wants to put on your schools. I began to hear that rustling of the dry bones coming together, and I could see in my mind's eye, I could see the muscle beginning to reform on these spiritually dead bodies and the life being breathed back into them. Guys, that's the vision that I want you to catch for your schools, for your workplaces, for your classrooms, for your teammates, for your workmates, for whatever it may be, for your friends, for your families. Is that rustling of bones coming alive, that rustling of life coming into dead lives. Heavenly Father, tonight, you know where each of us are. God, tonight, you know some of us are in that Ezekiel position where we're standing in a valley of dry bones and we're surrounded by people who are spiritually dead. And we are ready to speak. God, tonight we submit ourselves to you. If you can think of a friend right now, students, if you can think of a friend that doesn't know Jesus, I want you to begin to pray out loud for them. You say, we don't do a lot of praying out loud as a group. I know that. But tonight, I want you right where you're sitting to begin to pray over them. It doesn't matter if the people around you know who it is. That's okay, because that's just more people praying for that person. And that's super. So right now, with your eyes closed, nobody's looking around, begin to pray aloud. I want to hear voices lifted up. There's power in the spoken word. God told Ezekiel to speak and to prophesy over the bones. So I want you to begin to speak over your friends right now. Begin to say their names aloud. Begin to picture their faces in your mind. Heavenly Father, we lift up friends. God, we lift up relatives. We lift up family members. We lift up classmates. We lift up teammates. We lift up enemies, God. We have enemies that need you. And it's so hard sometimes to lift them up. But tonight, right now, Heavenly Father, we lift them up to you, God. God, we lift those names up to you. God, we pray that even now on a Wednesday night, wherever they are, God, they would feel that rushing wind of your Spirit. They would feel that fresh breath of life. They may not even know what it is yet. They may not even know who that is or what that presence is, but they feel your presence coming on them, Lord, at home or in their cars or in their rooms or wherever they are on a Wednesday night, God. But our friends and our family members and those around us, God, would feel your presence. We speak those names aloud. Heavenly Father. God, tonight over every student that's in that dry place tonight, that's in that valley, that's in that point where they need you and so desperately and they can't see you and they feel so dead. God, I pray your Spirit. I pray a fresh anointing right now, Heavenly Father. God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, right now in this room, Heavenly Father, a fresh fire. We don't have to wait for camp. We don't have to wait for retreat. We don't have to wait for anything. There's no magic formula, God. Just send your power on this place tonight. Send your power on this place, God. God, overwhelm lives right now. God, you're going to break people and you're going to break us of bondage and you're going to break us of the things that we struggle with and of feelings of unworthiness and of not being good enough for you because we're really not good enough for you, but you didn't require us to be. All you require is for us to come to you broken. And so tonight, God, in our brokenness, we come to you, Lord. God, begging for your fresh fire. God, we come to you needing a fresh anointing. And God, if there are those here who are just beginning that relationship with you, God, I just pray that you would set their path straight, Heavenly Father. God, set their path straight. Lord, the road is narrow and sometimes hard, but we know that the reward, God, is unfathomable. God, that you can and you will provide for all of our needs. And even though we can't always see it, we may not always know the end game, God, we know that we can rely on you. God, and that you are good and you love us. Even when it seems hard, we may be in that dry bone situation, but we know that you're raising up Ezekiels all around us who are going to speak life over us. God, if we're that dry bone right now, I pray that you would raise up Ezekiels all around, Heavenly Father, to speak life, God. We know that you have good plans for us, and we can trust that, and we can rely on you. Students, I challenge you one more time before we leave. Be that Ezekiel. You may not have raised your hand a few minutes ago. That's okay. It's not about a show of hands. It's not about, you know, that kind of thing. That's fine. I'm glad those of you that did, but I challenge you to be Ezekiel, to speak over your friends and your family members and your classmates and your enemies and your teammates and everybody, all these dry bones that surround you. God, tonight I pray over this room full of students. God, I pray your spirit would overwhelm. God, that you would raise us up stronger, no matter what stage of life we're in, God. We may be just, some in here, God, are still just beginning their teenage years. They're at the very earliest stages of this next part of life. God, I pray that you would raise them up as Ezekiel. God, some are older, some are nearing the next phase, and some are getting closer to adulthood and to the next phase of life. God, again, Ezekiel's, whatever situation, whatever school they're in, whatever work they're in, no matter what station in life we are in, God, myself included, raise us up as Ezekiel's to speak over these valleys of dry bones. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your goodness. We know that you are good, and you have proven that time and time again. And so, God, as we get ready to leave tonight, I pray that you would bless us as we go. God, that you would bless us as we come back. And that everything we would do, God, would go to honor and glorify the name of Jesus. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.